Hi, I'm Caleb.
I'm Hillary.
And this is But Have You Tried? From the David A. Howe Public Library.
Caleb and Hillary, who are they?
I am Caleb. I am Allie's husband. You may have heard of me once or twice mentioned in
You've been mentioned, sure,
just
in the podcast. I've heard that. And I'm Hillary. I am Nick's wife, but I'm also the host of Previously on X-Men. So for April Fools, ta-da! We're over here hosting this, and if you're missing Allie and Nick, they're going to be over on Previously on X-Men doing my show and hopefully not screwing it up.
Hopefully.
So, you're stuck with us for this. Tell us about yourself, Caleb.
It'd be so much easier if this was like happening a week or two ago or a week or two in advance when I wasn't like a week
What were
away
you
from
doing
a
week
job.
Ago? Oh, you are, really?
Box of Books Library in Alfred.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. That's
but
cool.
But I'm not starting till next week, so I haven't technically started, so I'm not doing it yet.
Okay,
so it
but
weird to say.
Can you say that you
Probably.
Have the job?
I have the
Are
job.
They going to be like, he spoke about it, and so we can't give it
I
to him?
I don't think so.
I don't think
I
that's...
It. I was told to
Well, that's news. That's great. So you're going to be working at another library.
Yes.
So you're going to be another librarian.
Correct.
So you're a reasonable person to be doing a library podcast.
One would hope.
That's good. That's good news for everybody,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so in the theme of this entire podcast, Allie recommended to Nick that he watch Agent Carter.
Correct.
And instead of doing that, Nick made me watch Agent Carter.
Oh, no.
So that's where we are right now.
Yes.
So you and Allie both like Agent Carter, yeah?
Yes. I introduced it to Allie a year or two ago.
Okay.
Because I thought she would like it. She always a little bit complained about the lack of Peggy Carter and just other general women characters in the MCU.
Oh, she noticed that, huh?
She's very perceptive. Like, you wouldn't think she'd
Yeah, she just really looks at the details.
It really slips under the radar there. And especially, I remember at one point back when What If was first coming out, and they were talking about the Captain Carter episodes. And Allie's response was something effective. Why didn't they just do this for the first movie? Because instead of Captain America, because she thinks Peggy Carter is cool.
Uh-huh.
She is cool. And so I was like, well, you haven't seen this. You won't like it. So we're going to watch it. And we did. And
so
she did like it.
Was the show before the What Ifs or was the What the Ifs?
The show came out first. The show
she
was
just missed it?
Yeah. I don't know exactly when she started getting into the MCU.
Late in the game.
Before I knew her, I think, probably, but I don't know how early off the top of my head.
All right. But she dove right in?
She seemed interested enough in Agent Carter, so we gave it a watch.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I've got a whole mess of facts about Agent Carter.
Well, I am here to hear them.
Having done my homework as instructed. So Peggy Carter was created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. She made her debut in 1966 in an issue of Tales of Suspense. It's number 75. She was an early love interest for Captain America. That makes it sound like she was a character. She wasn't so much a character as like a characteristic of Captain America.
Yeah.
When she first came out.
Yeah.
She didn't so much have a character. But it was expanded in 1973 in Captain America number 161 because they brought in Sharon Carter, who was initially, I guess she was going to be like Peggy's younger sister, and then she was her daughter, and then she was her granddaughter, like all of this whole long-running
thing. It's the same
sliding
timescale thing, like the exact war that Iron Man gets injured in before he has to make the suit has shifted over the years.
Yeah.
Or like how the Punisher has shifted from serving in like Vietnam or Korea, and I think now it's like Afghanistan at this point because of the sliding timescale.
It's nice that war just keeps going.
Oh, it's so great. We love that.
To allow through that kind of thing. But yeah, so Sharon Carter is another, I mean, love interest for Captain America, but she's more of an actual character. So Peggy in that just sort of becomes another story element for another character. In X-Men, which is my wheelhouse, in House of M, the story is that Captain America was never frozen and he and Peggy actually got married and lived their whole life together. So that's kind of a little window over there. But again, Peggy Carter herself, not super much a character for a really long time. Agent Carter, the show, debuted on January 6th, 2015, and ran for 18 episodes across two seasons on ABC. It was preceded by a 2013 Agent Carter short, which I also watched by myself for no reason. Haley Atwell is in this, which she was in the movie Captain America First Avenger, so she's reprising her role as Peggy Carter. I know her from Howard's End. She was really good in that. She was also in all the Captain America movies. She's in a bunch of Marvel movies.
If Peggy Carter shows up in the MCU, it's Hayley Atwell.
She's always going to be in there. Then we have in the What Ifs that you mentioned, she's Captain Carter, which is just an alternate, like, it's not Steve who gets the serum, it's Peggy. And then she also was Captain Carter in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I did not like, but we can set that aside.
If you'd like to hear spirited critique of Multiverse of Madness.
Spirited, yes.
Nick and Allie did an episode about that a while back.
Yeah, you should be able to just search the Multiverse of Madness and you'll find it, but all warranted criticisms.
And I'm pretty sure they probably didn't leave much that...
Didn't they have like a second episode? Didn't they do two episodes on it?
I think there was one that was like before they went to see it. Like sort of getting excited for it and hyping it up. And then they had a second one after they saw it where they both kind of just sat there and went, oh no, why? This was not good.
So bad.
And I'm pretty sure there's not much that they haven't already said that we could say. So we'll move on.
We'll just move right along from there. So let's get into the cast of this show. It's a pretty... decent cast. There's James Darcy as Edwin Jarvis. He wasn't super familiar, but he was in Broadchurch, which I loved. He was also in Oppenheimer. I don't remember him in that.
I have not seen Oppenheimer yet.
Really good. It is very good. Yeah. Worth seeing. Bombs happen, so that's not as fun.
Also so I have heard.
Yeah. Oh, I should say Edwin Jarvis is Howard Stark's butler, who sort of becomes like the template for Jarvis in the MCU movies.
In the comics, Jarvis is actually this Jarvis.
Just a butler. Just a butler guy.
Who hangs out with the Avengers.
Very cool. Chad Michael Murray. Do you know Chad Michael Murray?
Don't think I've known him from anything else other than this.
Chad Michael Murray is from One Tree Hill, which was a big like WB show for teens.
I've heard of it.
And then he was also in Gilmore Girls.
Also heard of it, but not watched.
So funny to see him in like this really serious tough guy role. He's Jack Thompson. He's one of the agents in, it's not S.H.I.E.L.D. What is it?
SSR. It's like Strategic Something.
SSR.
Scientific Strategic Reserve, I think. It's like.
A precursor, maybe?
It's before S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, it's the organization that helped create Captain America and then. Become S.H.I.E.L.D.
So like a transition-y kind of a thing. Okay, cool. So sort of S.H.I.E.L.D. but not. SSR. He's an agent in that. Bridget Regan is Dottie Underwood. She's the assassin.
Yes.
She turns out to be assassin. Spoilers. Whatever. She's also been in Jane the Virgin. She was Poison Ivy in Batwoman. So this isn't her first foray into superhero stuff.
Well, this would have been probably because Batwoman is much more recent.
You're right. This is just my viewing order. Ridiculous. Shea Whigham is Roger Dooley. I liked him the best. He was my favorite character, which was depressing from like a feminist standpoint. But he was in Silver Linings Playbook. He's the brother, the older brother in that. And he was also in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning with Hayley Atwell. She was also in that. I don't remember either of them being in that movie because that movie was terrible.
Oh, dear. I'd kind of been thinking at some point I wanted to watch it because I knew Hayley Atwell was in there. But
not a good movie. It's like someone did a caricature of an action movie.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of what Mission Impossible has been for.
But they usually do it so well. Like I'm like a fan of Mission Impossible. Like I usually really enjoy the creative about like the action sequences and crap. And it's like, this is insane. How crazy. But I don't know. It just wasn't.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't like it. Maybe you would. Who knows?
I don't know.
Then we've got Lindsay Fonseca as Angie.
Angie is her friend who works at the diner.
Then we have Dominic Cooper, recurring as Howard Stark, who was also in things, but I didn't write them down. I think he was the boyfriend in Mamma Mia, if I'm remembering that correctly, but he's been in things.
Oh, maybe.
Also, very recently, in 2023, or 2022, not that recently, there was a Captain Carter miniseries comic produced by Marvel, written by Jamie McElvey, and illustrated by Marika Cresta. I just read that last night. That's my homework. I've got all of the facts out. So did I miss anything?
James D'Arcy shows up in Endgame briefly as Jarvis.
Oh, he does?
Yes. When they're doing their time travel at the end, Tony sees Howard in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
He's briefly there. You wouldn't really notice it.
Unless you like knew the character.
Show. But if you were like me
and
watched the show when it was coming out,
uh-huh.
You got more excited at that than almost anything else in that movie.
That's pretty cool.
Because up until that point, the movies had basically done nothing to acknowledge the existence of any shows.
Yeah.
So seeing him there was very exciting.
That's very cool.
Me and my friend who had actually seen the show beforehand started freaking out. and the like half a dozen other people that had come to see the movie with us had no idea what was going
on. That's fun. That's probably like seeing Daredevil in the Spider-Man movie.
Similar, yeah.
Because he just like popped in. That was fun. Okay, so what's your background? Like, when did you first meet this Agent Carter show, and like, why did you watch it?
I watched it on ABC Live when it was coming out. It was coming out in the mid-season break of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
Which had started the year before. Usually, after the halfway point in the season, they'd end on a big mid-season cliffhanger. And the first season Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was airing was 2013.
Okay.
So 2014 had the Olympics. So there was like a two-month break where they weren't really airing new episodes during season one because of the Olympics.
Okay.
They kept that break for the next couple of seasons, and Agent Carter was created to sort of fill it.
Oh, okay.
So when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went on break in January or February for 2 years, Agent Carter was coming on in the middle period, which was really nice because the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a very nasty habit, or had when it was on, of ending on particularly mean cliffhangers for its mid-season finale. You might not catch that watching it now because you could see it all, but usually something very dramatic and possibly concerning occurred, and then they would go on break for 2 to 3 months.
Perfect. That's old school.
It really is. So I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time because I had just recently gotten into Marvel. I don't remember exactly when, but shortly, sometime after Avengers had come out, a family friend who is a really big comics fan essentially lent us all of the Marvel Phase 1 movies on DVD to watch through. So we watched through the first two Iron Mans, Thor, Captain America, Hulk. We'd watch Captain America first and then decided we wanted to go back and watch the others. Because at the time, they were still mostly independent.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Captain America leads very directly into Avengers sort of with its ending. So we went back, watched the West, watched those, and then I got really excited because they were making the show, and it was sent, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sent around Agent Coulson, sort of a fan favorite recurring character from the Iron Man movies and Avengers. So I was watching that, and then because I was already watching that regularly, jumped into Agent Carter and was just really delighted by it.
That's great.
And I think there's just something special. Like, streaming is very nice. There's a lot of things we've gotten from streaming that we probably wouldn't have gotten on network TV.
True.
Like the budget and or the freeing from creative restraints of having to fit into like a very strict time block or a very strict amount of episodes. Having that freedom, I think, has led to a lot of cool things. But there's something special, I think, about having a dedicated time where you sit down to watch the show every week because that's the time that it's at.
Yeah.
It creates just a bond that... There's plenty of other shows that I really, really like that I don't quite have the same connection to as these two because I wasn't there in the same way. Even
yeah,
if
it's
I was
a different,
watching them as they came out.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a very different vibe. They've sort of tried to recreate that kind of thing with like dropping episodes only weekly, but it's still not quite the same.
It's not quite the same because you can watch it whenever. Like if you're busy on Thursday or Wednesday, whenever the new Disney Plus show drops, you can just watch it later in the week and be up to date. Like you might get spoilers if you're online a bunch and people stop caring about spoilers within like 12 to 24 hours after it dropped.
Yeah. But... yeah. There's also something I remember feeling that real difference going between watching like network TV or cable or whatever to going to streaming, that like when you're watching it live, you're watching it when other people are watching it. Like you're all having the same experience at the same time. And even though you're in your kind of own homes, it had kind of a unifying feel to it that I really noticed the loss of that when it switched to mainly streaming. Okay, well, I guess let's talk about the show.
All right.
So I watched all of it over the past like probably week and a half.
Seasons?
No, just the first season.
Just the first season.
Just the first season, which feels pretty self-contained.
It is.
It's, I mean, like obviously there are places to go, but I didn't feel too much like at the end, like what's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they intended it to be two seasons when they created it or not, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they did it the way they did, they might've just sort of been doing what they could get away with.
And the first one was successful enough. I'd have to look back at news and stuff around when it was renewed and whatnot. But.
Yeah. I wish I had seen it at the time because I don't know how much it holds up now, having not seen it initially. Like, I feel like watching it at the time, you get more of the feel of it because it's made for you at that moment. And now, like, as culture changes and things, it just, I don't know. It felt like I felt the oldness of it, even at just 2015. So that was a shame. But I love Hayley Atwell. I think she's great. Mm-hmm. Her performance in First Avenger, I feel like, really prepared me for this show, because how I felt about her there is exactly how I feel about the show, mm-hmm. which is that she is excellent. She performs a fully fleshed out character. I think she does justice to a female lead, and the writing is not serving that at all. Hmm. So I think that she personally mm-hmm. is excellent, and even manages, like, she has ways that she does emotional moments that are like free in a really good way. That's not like, I'm strong, I have to be a man to be a woman, but also not, I'm just a woman, so I'm going to mm-hmm. cry. She's a very skilled actor. Mm-hmm. So she can really sell those kinds of moments. But she's also just embedded in a world that, while trying to comment on a woman being trapped in a masculine world, is actively trapping a woman in a masculine world and not really doing her service. So I had some trouble with the show, but it was enjoyable to an extent.
Fair enough.
I have a real problem with not Marvel, the comics, so much, but the MCU and their treatment of women. And I know Allie mm-hmm. has the same kind of situation, that I just really, I end up resenting the feel that they're like throwing me a bone with something like this. So this is going way more negative than I planned.
It happens.
There we go. So that's basically my general feel about the show. It's, I mean, I should say what the show is. It's like sort of a spy thing where she's like working for a spy organization, but she doesn't actually really work for them during the show. She works for Howard Stark, and she works with Jarvis, and the two of them kind of go off on missions and things, and they have a really good, I like their dynamic, that seems to really be natural and fun, and that's nice. I like that she has kind of relationships with people. Like when they go overseas and she meets what's the group called? With the guy with the hat and the, you know.
Marine Commandos. There's a specific regiment name, but they're the group that Captain America ran with.
Yeah.
During the Second World War, both in the movies and the comics.
Yeah. So that was a fun moment where she goes overseas with her spy team, like the guys she works with, SSR people. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, she's just a lady. But she like knows all of these like specialized forces and stuff, and that's kind of a cool moment, and that's fun, and she does a good job with that. The SSR thinks that Howard Stark is selling weapons to their enemies, but Howard Stark says that people are stealing from him and selling things to the whatever. So the SSR is like, no, 100%, this is Howard Stark, he's a jerk, we hate him. And Peggy, because she knows Howard, is like, eh, I don't know about that. And then Howard comes to her and is like, listen, they stole this stuff. They're never going to believe it. So I need you to kind of like double agent the situation and like get me out of this without telling anybody. Mm-hmm. So bunch of men putting Peggy in bad situations all around, but she handles it. She handles it. And she basically is like the whole time basically is like sort of undercover in her own workplace and does all various missions with Jarvis to try to figure out who's stealing the weapons, where are the weapons, how can I stop this, how can I clear Howard's name. And then eventually it all comes out that, what was it? Was it Hydra? I don't even remember what the actual...
It's a group, mysterious group called Leviathan.
Leviathan, that's right.
Which... the show a little bit implies maybe evolves mm-hmm. into a couple different things in the modern MCU. Okay. There's some implications that the Red Room from the Black Widow movie has links to Leviathan. The ending of this season has a little post-credit stinger with one of the Hydra scientists.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which implies that some of Leviathan might end up becoming mm-hmm. Hydra. It seems like they had ideas on how that was going to go, because mm-hmm. that's a plot thread that continues into the second season.
Okay.
Which, unfortunately, doesn't get a chance to resolve it.
Because okay, so there's never like a final...
Season 2 is fairly self-contained with its story, but mm-hmm. the Leviathan plot thread is sort of like an undercurrent that seemed to have been their, like, this is what the show is going to be about mm-hmm. on the whole.
Yeah.
And then they canceled it after season
two. Oh, that stinks.
On a bit of a cliffhanger in respect to that.
Yeah.
Which does stink.
That's...
Because they clearly knew what they were...
Yeah.
...planning to go for. Because, like, as they progressed, I can't remember how many years. There's a little bit of a time skip between the first and second season.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of suspect that they were maybe hoping to use this show to sort of show the beginnings of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, build to... Like the end of the SSR and how Peggy and Howard transformed it into S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would make sense. Yeah. That's a shame.
It is a bit of a shame.
You'd wish that they would do like a standalone comic or something to just be like, and then this happened.
Potentially. Though the MCU has done a few like prequel or spin-off comics.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all of them have been completely irrelevant.
Great.
Like to an aggressive degree.
Oh boy.
Like they exist, but I've never heard anyone reference them. Ever.
That's so strange.
It's kind of like the comic equivalent of a movie tie-in video game.
Oh, where it's just,
it's there to capitalize on it, but doesn't
serve anything. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Leviathan. So they find out that Leviathan, this like secret, vaguely Eastern European organization, has been manipulating the whole situation, and there's a therapist. Wow, I'm remembering all of this like as I'm saying it. There's a psychotherapist guy who like hypnotizes the director of the SSR and like he steals more of Howard's stuff from them, and like all this whole like disaster stuff happens. The director ends up having to like kill himself basically to save everybody, and then Peggy and Howard and Jarvis ultimately are like, fine, everything is cleared up now, and we just have to like clean up this mess.
It's a very plot dense show.
Yes.
which I think comes with the territory of it being a spy show, like a spy thriller. I also rewatched most of the first season, didn't quite finish the last episode in preparation for this, and I was surprised by how much stuff, like I remembered most things that happened, but I was surprised by how much happened in a single episode.
Yes. Well, they're long episodes. They were, what, 40 minutes or something?
They're 40 minutes. They were like hour long, like standard.
Yeah, with like the ads and the...
With ads when they aired.
Well, I think that's the basic plot.
As much as can be summed up efficiently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Oh, well, there was What's-Her-Face, the assassin.
Yes.
We should mention, because there was also... She was sort of like a Black Widow-ish sort of type.
Proto-Black Widow is the very strong implication that they never come out right and say.
Yeah, like raised in an orphanage to be an assassin, basically. And she goes after her as well. She's part of the whole Leviathan thing. But yeah, I think that's basically it. So, verdict for me is... I didn't super love it, but I think a lot of that is like timing, and Marvel sucks at women.
That's fair.
So, but you liked it, so tell me why.
I guess for me, one of the things I really appreciated is I personally think they do some really good character writing with all of the expanded cast. Partly because all of the actors give really solid performances.
Yeah, they do.
It's just really solid performances all around from the core cast. But one of the things I really appreciate about it is, especially considering when it came out sort of 2015, I feel like it could have been really easy for it to go a more shallow route on its attempts to be like, oh, we're making a show about a woman character and just sort of lean into it being, I guess, sort of pop feminism-y, not really exploring Peggy much as a character, just being like, cool, we have a woman character.
Right.
And also on the flip side, the characters around her, specifically in the SSR, her colleagues, who are all not great people-wise. Like, they're a bunch of very blatant and aggressive misogynists. They're all very rude to her, explicitly because she's a woman. They don't respect her experience, despite the fact that it's, like, proven there are, like, documents and historical records and things of all the stuff she did during the war that proves she's capable. And I think it could have been really easy for the show to just let them be just an obstacle for her. But something I like is that it simultaneously is like, hey, they're doing this and it's bad and it's hurting Peggy and it's not good and it's hurting their, like, it is stopping them from doing their jobs effectively. But the show still lets them be people.
Yeah, they weren't caricatures. Yeah, that's true.
I think the first one that really gets it is in the third episode. I would say mild spoilers, but we already spoiled
all of it. We've spoiled all of it.
there's a minor character who's just an agent who's, he's not the brightest, he's not the best. Like, he's good at what he does, but he's mostly there to just
He's kind be of a doofus. Jerk. Yeah.
He's no one kind of really likes him. He's kind of a jerk. The third episode sets up that he's just actively cheating on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, like, very much primes you to be like, oh, he's just a jerk, we don't like him. And then at the end of the episode, indirectly as a result of something Peggy did sort of on the down low,
mm-hmm.
He gets taken out by an assassin that's trying to take out a witness so mm-hmm. that information doesn't get leaked. And then the end of the episode, Peggy finds out, everyone else at the SSR finds out, and it's a genuinely affecting moment.
Yeah,
there's a beat where the chief comes Dooley. Out and says, we're gonna find the person who did this, mm-hmm. yada yada yada, and then he's like, I'm gonna go call his wife and let her know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other agents, Thompson, sort of turns around and is like, oh, and I'll call his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which is this really tragic usage of, like, Chekhov's gun or the rule of threes. Because they kind of set it up, like, once and then a second time that, oh, he's got a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And they do it. They show it up as, like, a joke of, like, wow, this guy's bad. But the way they pay it off is just, like, it's a weird gut punch. Like, he wasn't a great guy. Most of the guys here are not great. They are misogynist. They're violent.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are traumatized and not remotely equipped to deal with the trauma of war. But, like, all of the main ones are still people, despite the fact that they're regularly being awful to Peggy. Which, it's a hard line to walk.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't want to, like, justify it. But I think I appreciate the nuance that all of the main characters get in that respect.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's
very well written. It doesn't feel cheap
mm-hmm.
as they sort of, like, some of them over the course of the series come to, like, respect Peggy a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels earned. Because that could easily feel, like, just cheap. Like, oh, naturally they're going to come around because she's the main character.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that. So the writing is something I really like. I also just really love Peggy and Jarvis's dynamic.
They are cute. I like them.
They're really fun.
Yeah.
Season 2 is even more of that.
Yeah.
Season 2, she gets sent out to investigate something going on in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And Jarvis is over there for Howard Stark reasons.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of the same vibe, but even more of them sort of bouncing off each other doing missions.
Yeah.
Because they don't quite have the same backing of the SSR mm-hmm. over there.
Yeah. Their relationship is funny because it's more of like an opposites thing than you might expect, because they're both kind of uptight British people,
mm-hmm.
but they still end up having a very, like, you would almost expect playing with, like, different cultures
mm-hmm.
and, like, different, you know, lifestyles or whatever, like an American and a British mm-hmm. person or something. They have that tension in their relationship of, like, wait, what did you say? And, like, just silliness that is funny because in any other situation, they would be the cohort that's together against mm-hmm. everybody else. And, like, those people are crazy. And we're the British people who know each other's style and stuff. So it's funny that the two of them are this, like, buddy cop thing
mm-hmm.
when they're actually so similar in ways that are more obvious. But then you have to kind of, like, get down into, you know, like, what makes them different for it to really, it's a funny thing.
And I also just like that they, for the most part, just kind of avoid, like, setting her up with anyone. Like, there's hints of it. And she has vibes with a couple of people, partly just because Hayley Atwell has great chemistry with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But they never, for the most part, they don't really go there.
Yeah, that's
They do a little bit more in the second season. And I think it's as far as, like, sort of complicated romantic things on,
mm-hmm.
like, primetime television dramas go, I think they handle it fairly well.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that it's not as big a thing. And I also appreciate mm-hmm. that they don't just hammer home the Captain America is gone and dead and Peggy's sad about it. Like, it's there, and it very much informs her character.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it would be very easy to just make that her whole character.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It stood out more to me, but yeah, it's less than it could have been. It's less than it could have been, definitely. So that's good.
Maybe it stood out less to me this time watching through because I've watched season 2 of What If, where so much of what Captain Carter is doing throughout the season is related to the whole
That's
Steve
true.
Rogers thing.
I just watched the one What If where Steve is, like, in a mech.
Oh,
do you know what I'm
like
talking
the
about?
The Winter Soldier sort of riff episode with the Hydra Stomper?
Yes. Yeah. I watched that one, and that one was, like, heavy with romance.
Yeah. Because the first time they did it, it's there, but, like, they're doing, like, essentially a remix of the first Captain America movie, so it makes sense
mm-hmm.
to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then how they repurpose Steve in the Winter Soldier sort of remix makes sense. But then in the later episodes of season two where she shows up again, mm-hmm. they keep doing it.
I'm not surprised.
Any one of, like, if it was just the one episode or the mm-hmm. one reference, I'd be fine with it. But, like, every single one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They really hammered on that. I was like, just let both of these characters do anything else. We already had the happy ending in Endgame. We already had the more sad ending in this one. Because mm-hmm. she sort of, at the end of the season, has to, like, properly choose to, like, let him go and, like, be more willing to engage with her life and get mm-hmm. over her. Everyone I know, everyone I'm friends with just dies thing that she's sort of not hanging over.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons I like the show. I think it's probably, at least for me, one of the better Marvel shows, or like mm-hmm. one of my favorite ones, just in terms of the writing. And it feels, in a lot of ways, a little bit prescient of mm-hmm. what would come with some of the Disney Plus shows. Because mm-hmm. I feel like it's doing a very similar thing to what the Disney Plus shows are currently doing, in that it's bouncing off of the movies and playing with ideas from the movies, but mm-hmm. doing its own thing.
Yeah.
But still firmly existing within the MCU in a way that most of the other pre-Disney Plus shows don't. Like, the Marvel shows kind of exist in their own bubble.
Uh-huh.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more or less does its own thing.
Yeah.
But it's very... I think it's very successful at doing that sort of connected in the MCU, but an independent unit.
Mm-hmm.
With how there's a lot of tiny little references to the various movies that
That's always fun.
Like, super pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the first episode, they go meet a scientist named Dr. Vanko. Who is the father of the villain from Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, like, a number of other Marvel properties might be tempted to have, like, oh, look, we have like, that tech thing that he's working on. We'll just very prominently display that at some point to make sure you know and blast the musical theme of that movie.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other things, like the fact that they have the early Black Widows
mm-hmm.
or the sort of mind control stuff that the psychiatrist is doing.
Yeah.
Is very similar to stuff that Hydra does both mm-hmm. in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and in The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So it does the connection.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a really good example of what, like, a Marvel Cinematic Universe TV show should be
mm-hmm.
in terms of fitting into the the canon.
Kind of more grabbing themes that connect everything mm-hmm. rather than, like, very obvious, like, hello, character.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And I think you're right. I mean, there are definitely good things about it.
Do you think you'll watch the second season?
I'm trying to decide. I'm on the fence about it. I might. Just to see kind of where things go with it. Because there were character connections that I was interested in and stuff. So we'll see.
I think it's worth it. I think the second season a little funnier.
Mm-hmm.
It leans a little more into the sort of, like you said, like buddy adventure, buddy cop.
Yeah.
Dynamic.
Yeah, I like that.
And Jarvis's wife shows up. She's there, like, actually on screen.
She's not just like a grown-up in Peanuts talking off screen.
She's not just off screen. They actually bring her in. And I find her delightful. I think she's a great addition.
That's great.
Show, so.
Okay, cool.
I would recommend going on, but again, I really like the show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it definitely has things to offer, so I wouldn't go against that.
All right. Well, be sure to tune in to hear Allie and Nick hosting Previously on X-Men, where they will discuss the two-part Spider-Man and X-Men crossover from Spider-Man the Animated Series from the 90s.
Yeah, I caught the end of that while Nick was watching it, and it was pretty fun, so I think they'll have a good time. Nick and Allie will be back here in 2 weeks for a bookshelf episode where they'll reveal Allie's next assignment on But Have You Tried? And... before that, you can catch Nick guest hosting another April Fool's Day episode on 90s Music Got Me Like from the Radio Meanwhile Network. And if you're interested, the next Previously on X-Men episode is covering X-Men animated series Beyond Good and Evil, so you can catch me over there. Thanks for listening!
Yeah, thanks.